Ray Ferraro joins us from L.A. Ray, how you doing?
I'm good. It's just like people asking, what's wrong with the Hawks? What do the Hawks have to do?
They lost
in Game 7 in overtime.
I
wouldn't think wholesale changes are in order.
No, I think the only thing they would look at maybe is, you know, they're going to want to get a little bit younger than Michael Hanzus. That's pretty much it.
Well, that's not hard.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, they're going to run into some cap issue here pretty quick when they've got to get Taves and Kane done. And there may be some more significant players than Michael Hanzus moved as they, you know, prepare to get those guys under contract. But they've got some young players that are right on the cusp. They got a defenseman, Adam Clendenning, who has had a couple of 50-point years in the American League. They got a forward, Jeremy Morin, who was one of their scratches in the playoffs. He's real close to playing. And so they do have some younger pieces that they could move in. And, of course, if you're bidding for a free agent and you're one of the best teams in the league, I think players are likely to select that as opposed to a place where you've got to start from the bottom again.
I talked to a lot of people last week out of New York who mentioned that they thought for sure Chicago was a better matchup than the LA Kings, and obviously that didn't happen. I'm picking the Kings in five, Ray. Who do you like in this series, and do you think Chicago would have been a better matchup for New York?
Oh, yeah, I think the Hawks would have been a better matchup for them, but I think they would have been the Rangers would be a prohibitive underdog against either of these two teams. I mean the best teams this year were, you know, the five teams in the West plus Boston, and then when Boston got shoveled out, then all of a sudden the Eastern Conference opened up, and that allows a team like New York to, you know, who I would say is probably not as good a team as Boston, but doesn't really particularly matter at this point, and their road got a little bit easier. And so they get their way through. As far as a series pick, I mean, I haven't met anybody yet that thinks the Rangers are going to win. If the way the series gets stretched is if they split the games out here. If they lose two, I think it'll be five games. They're not going to beat the Kings four out of five games, I wouldn't think. And if they do, when they wheel out the Conn Smythe, they'll hand it to Henrik Lundqvist, because these games have to be low scoring, and who would have thought you would say the team playing against the Kings has to be tighter defensively than the Kings. That was what we thought of the Kings, not this team that outscores their problems like they have in these playoffs.
Ray Ferraro joins us breaking down the Stanley Cup Final. Ray, Drew Doughty, Anze Kopitar, who has a bigger impact than the Kings?
Always a defenseman. Doughty literally plays half the game. So he's either sitting on the bench or he's on the ice half the time. There's no other way to have a bigger impact than that other than the goaltender, I guess. What a blessing for the Kings to have one of the game's top centermen and one of the game's top defensemen, and they're both in your lineup. And you know that when you have a tough matchup, you can put Kopitar against him and feel really, really comfortable, much like Chicago does with Jonathan Taves. And yeah, there might be guys that are flashier offensively, but to work your way 200 feet by 85 around the rink, I don't think there's really anybody better than Taves and Kopitar in the center position. And Doughty just is. I think if Doughty played on a team that didn't play with so much structure, he'd be a 70-point guy. I mean, he'd run all over the place, and he's got such incredible skill and such a dynamic player that his points, I think, would go north in a hurry. But that's not how the Kings play. That's not how he plays. And he really looks a lot like Ray Bourque to me. When I was playing against Bourque, and when I was in Hartford and he was in Boston, and then I went to New York and he was still in Boston, you know, right in the heyday of his career, you know, he's strong, physical, you know, could hit like a truck when he needed to, run the power play, shoot the puck. And Bourque and Doughty, to me, are very similar players.
Yeah, Doughty, man, he's young still. That's the crazy part about it. And he's accomplished so much already in his career, two Olympic gold medals, got a Stanley Cup final. I know I had Jarrett Stoll on earlier this week. He thinks he's actually getting better. He believes he's a lot better now than he was when they won in 2012.
Well, I don't think Doughty will ever be accused of overthinking anything. You know, he's he's kind of a carefree guy, and he, you know, he gets better because he's mature. You know, that when remember when he came in, then the real question was going to be, you know, how quickly could this kid get into shape, because he was not in terrific condition coming out of junior, and how quickly would his game have some form to it? And he's taken leaps and bounds and strides. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of stories of Doughty and at the Olympics, how he was the extra guy, and then he played himself into the, you know, the very top of their defensive rotation in Vancouver, and you know, he borderline late for a couple of the games. And, you know, they had to corral him and get him to the rink, and but he's a kid, and now he's not anymore. He's been around for quite some time and had a lot of responsibility for a lot of those years. And when you look at Doughty play now, he's become so much more solid and predictable in his zone. And so when he's on the ice, the puck's never in it. He gets his hands on it and he zips a pass and out they go. Or if he's got room, he carries it up the ice and out they go. And he's just a fantastic player.
Ray Ferraro joins us. Ray, looking quickly to the coaching vacancies, who do you think is a good fit for Vancouver?
Well, I think the inside track is Willie Desjardins. There is a connection from Medicine Hat back to Trevor Linden, back to Jim Benning. And Desjardins has been very successful this season. As James Duffy just learns how to use his phone here in close proximity. It's new, this volume stuff on it. Anyway, Desjardins got his Texas Stars in the American League final.
Yeah.
He's long been considered a teacher, you know, a real positive guy. And Vancouver could use some positivity after the way things imploded last year. And I would say he's got the inside track to it. I would think John Stevens would be a guy that who almost had the job last summer before they hired Tortorella. I would think that he would be in the mix there as well.
Desjardins makes a lot of sense. You know, you look, it's funny you talk about what's wrong with Chicago. You look at Vancouver and all the changes they made after losing in Game 7. And I think that's proof that sometimes, you know what, it's just one lucky bounce, Ray. Really, hockey can be really harsh sometimes, that some teams maybe overreact to a playoff loss rather than be patient.
See, I think the biggest problem the Canucks had, Jason, was that when they got to Game 7 and they lost, if you look at that series, the one major advantage they had going into it was their power play. And Boston's power play outscored Vancouver's in the series. So really, they didn't have anything go wrong for them, except they got banged up, and then their power play flattened out. It was terrible in a series where they had been the league's best power play for much of the previous 18 months. So they decided to chase what Boston had. And the problem when you say we're going to build like the Boston model or the Los Angeles model is you don't have those players. You have to have the model that fits your organization. And if you want to head towards what LA does, like people say, you know, they want the Kings model. Well, good. Go find Kopitar. Go find Doughty. And then you've got half the model. Well, you can't find them. They're not available. And so I think teams like Vancouver, they end up chasing their tail. And it's pretty clear they're farther away from being a contender now than they were right after the Stanley Cup of 2011.
Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. Ray, one last one for you. As a former player, and I know that, you know, the game has obviously changed now, and you know there's so much on social media and everything else. Was there ever conversations about the responsibility of players to, you know, to get behind certain charity events? Or, you know, does that have to come from the player within, or, you know, do teams need to try to get those guys out there and have them be in spokesperson or being involved in different things? How does that work, and how important do you think it is?
Well, I mean, teams have their charities that they're affiliated with, and so, you know, there'll be a golf tournament at the start of the year, for example, and it'll be for a charity that the team has kind of adopted. In Vancouver, which of course is the team I know best, they had the focus of their charity was to Canucks House and Canuck Place, and they for years and years that was all their sole focus. And then the Aquilinis took over, and the Aquilinis had a connection to a different charity, and so now they kind of split it. As far as the players, I mean, you can't tell a guy, hey, you're going to be the the spokesman for this charity. He's got, you know, you might suggest and see if he wants to get involved in it. And there's certain places that have other connections that to a charity that they want to be involved in. And yeah, I think teams have a responsibility to support their local groups. But it's up to them who it is. I don't think the pressure has or should be that, oh, you should support group A, B, and C because they're in our city. You have to have a connection or a passion for which charity you want to support. But I don't think there's any question, Jason, they should be involved in it.
Ray, always good to catch up with you. You're taking the Kings in the series, and good luck showing Duthie how to work his new phone.
Yeah, we will work on that, which will be a two-week endeavor, and there's no way we could be more wrong, Jason, than the Sharks.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true. I did have the Rangers.
And have you burned that yet?
No. I still talk about it often because I picked the Rangers to make the Cup, and then I said the winner of the Sharks-Kings series would go to the Cup, but I was dumb enough to pick the Sharks and not the Kings. So.
Well, good. So you can maybe just get Meg to burn the part where you pick the Sharks. You're going to sound brilliant.
Well, you know, the great part is, though, I know now it does. The Sharks could go 82-0, and I won't pick them ever to win the Cup again. Ever. It's never happening.
Well, I've only picked them 4 out of the last 5 years. What could go wrong?
Well, you know what, Ray? It's sometimes we can be impatient and make drastic moves. Maybe we should be loyal to them one more time.
I refuse.
Me too. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you then, Jay.